So let's get to the news this morning. Let's get to what we've got to get into. Here's kind of a look at what's coming up on the show. I guess I've got to do this again, huh? I don't know why it starts there. Anyway, we're going to talk about, on today's show, we're going to talk about what in the world happened to this show. And that's if that's not enough, then we're also going to talk about what the heck happened to me, which is a two. That's like a twofer. We're going to shove that into one story. Then we're going to look at the double standard of the mainstream media. And while I was out, bombshell stories about Facebook, bombshell stories about social media platforms that are basically putting people on a VIP list so they can say whatever the heck they want to say, while other people get blacklisted and shut down. Surprise. Surprise. So we'll look at that. We're also going to look at the huge surge in COVID cases across the United States and one moron governor of Mississippi literally doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. We're going to hear from him on Mississippi's plan to figure out how to fight COVID because they are now almost the worst in the world. Like if it was its own country, Mississippi, it would be second only to Peru for the number of COVID deaths in the world. Mississippi, way to go. Maybe your plan isn't working after all. We'll look at that. We're also got some news on this eviction moratorium part deux. And I don't know if you saw, did you see the Bill Gates interview last night about Jeffrey Epstein? Oh, man. So I'll just sort of ask you this question. I've been gone for, I don't know, what it's been like 10 days or longer or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe I'd come back and rich people would have stopped walking all over people. Big corporations would have started treating people better.
Amazon would be paying their employees $70,000 a year.
Yeah, yeah. You know, politicians would stop being liars and political opportunists and power-hungry money grubbers.
Like, did you thought it'd be the opposite of Shawshank Redemption. Like...
Right,
you'd get out, and everything would be great.
I thought of like, wow, this is like maybe it's a bizarro world. Like I'd come back from my COVID coma, and I'd wake up, or there would be like a Twilight Zone episode where I'd wake up, like he was down with COVID, and he came up, and like suddenly, like rich people are helping other people, and not walking on other people, and politicians are actually taking care of people instead of just pocketing money from big corporations, and. But no, apparently that didn't happen. Diane says, Clayton, you have nice dreams. Yeah.
All right, I'm getting ready to throw it into members only mode. So you guys, if you're not members of the channel, you can go to morninginvest.com/join and become a member for $1.99 a month or more. So I'm getting ready to throw that in members only mode right now. So going in members only in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, we're members only.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of you current members. We appreciate you.
Yes. So we're going to get to what happened on the show here, what happened, why YouTube blocked us for a week. We're going to talk about what happened to me and all of that in just a moment. And I do want to say because we haven't had a show in a week, we've got a number of sponsors that were very patient with us who support our show that they've asked, hey, we're going to have like 4 sponsors on today's show. So just deal with it. They are fantastic. They've been supporters of our show. So just give me a few seconds to tell you about one of our show sponsors, Scoremaster. Did you know the average American has 97 points they can add to their credit score and they have no idea how to get them? Scoremaster is the new credit science that super boosts your credit score. Forget raising your credit score a few points. That's weak. The average Scoremaster user raises their credit score 61 points in 20 days or less. 61 points. So let's say for a home loan as an example here. If you'd gone to Scoremaster before applying for a home loan and raised your score, just the average 61 points our listeners get, you could have saved almost $100,000 over the life of your loan. Scoremaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. Enroll in minutes and see how many plus points Scoremaster can add to your credit score. Visit scoremaster.com/invest. That's scoremaster.com/invest. So our thanks to them.
I signed up for them, and actually it was easy to submit a claim on something that was not supposed to be on my credit, and it actually submitted it to both the bureaus at the same time, and I didn't have to do anything. So that's pretty cool, because that's usually a pain in the butt.
That's great. How many plus points did you get? Do you know off top?
I haven't yet. Haven't seen any plus points yet, because that's still pending. But as soon as that comes off, it's probably going to be 100 points, because it was a credit card that had an annual fee that I had canceled, and they didn't cancel the card a year ago, like I said. And then they turned me in as being late for my annual fee, and I wasn't, because I just shouldn't have had an annual fee. So it dropped my credit score quite a bit. So as soon as that comes off, then I'll be good. Up to like a 780.
Yeah, these guys are great. So thanks to them for their support of the show. Let me see how this works here. Is that the right one? Yeah, there we go. It's been so long since I touched these keys. my wife's bringing me some hot tea. Thank you so much. Yay. Thank you. What is this? What kind of tea is this?
That looks like mint.
What is it? Mint. Okay, dude, you're right. So I'll drink that. Mint tea is good for my throat. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So what the hell happened? What the hell happened to this channel? What the hell happened to me over the past 10 days? It's been quite a crap show, to say the least. Let me just re-rack let's go back in time. Let's get the flux capacitor and go back in time to last Friday. Last Friday, or almost two Fridays ago now, right? Or guess what day is that? Our last live show. Whenever that was, it was a Friday. And by the way, many of you said it was our best show we'd ever done. So thank you for that. Well, unfortunately, YouTube disagreed with us and decided to take down our show.
Yeah, that would have been the 10th.
The 10th. Okay. So YouTube took down our live show. Now, that afternoon, I went into the movies with my son and didn't see an email from YouTube saying that they found it to be a strike against their community guidelines. Because we had talked about the V word, right? The poke, the jab, poke. What do you want to call it? And we talked about data that had come out surrounding that. All publicly available, you know, data right from government's own websites, right? So they sent a warning with the initial takedown of our video, which was the live video, the live show. Well, then we had a condensed cut-up version of that same chunk of talking points that we were going to release as a separate video. That also got uploaded, and I didn't know it at the time. But that also then got us, that's what got us the strike. That's what got us removed from YouTube for 7 days.
And that was the one about mandates. That's specifically that story.
Right. And so because of that, we were nothing. I tried to appeal it. Nothing. I spent hours online with YouTube support explaining the situation. And it's like talking to robots, in all honesty. It's like, so I'm there explaining what had happened. I'm explaining that this video never went live. It was set as a premiere. It never even published the second video. So how can you say that this is spreading misinformation about this, you know, this virus, et cetera?
Right, because they already had taken the live down.
Right.
And the thing is, like, and the problem with YouTube is they don't tell you what you said. It's not like they say, hey, in this part, you said this, and this is why we're taking it down. This was a 40-minute segment. So we have no idea.
Right. It could have been any number of things we talked about.
Yet but the Fauci story stayed up. That's what surprised me, because we were a lot more harsh in that story than we were in the other one.
Right. I mean, and so it's just amazing to me that they pick and choose like what, and they don't tell you. So they don't, in an email response, they don't tell us why we were taken down. They don't tell us what specifically violates the WHO. Like, that's exactly what they're going off of, the World Health Organization, WHO, and like what we said, something that disagrees with something that they said. Okay. So then I'm furious about it right now. I can't do a show for 7 days. I'm pissed. And I always try to turn lemons into lemonade. And I said, okay, well, one, you know, we're working on something big for this show anyway. This will give me a week to like rejigger some things and to go forward with some major changes here on the show anyway. Something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I can't announce it yet. And then I get COVID. So while I was making all these special orders for cameras and things to come for the studio, I thought, okay, I'll use this week to my advantage. Now that I don't have a show for a week, I can't do anything for a week. I can't even post a video. I can't even post a community post. I can't do anything. Like, right? We weren't able to post anything.
No, not that, and that's the thing. We couldn't even let people know because we couldn't post on the community tab, nothing.
And that's such a crappy thing to do, right? It's like they keep you from even interacting with your audience. So unless I post, I posted like a pinned comment. That's all I could do is posted like a pinned comment on one of our videos. So now you might be saying, wow, you guys must have said something really inflammatory about it. Turns out, no. And it turns out that later that same afternoon, I get back from the movies with my son. We saw Shang-Chi, by the way. It was fantastic. I get back from the movies, and I have no channel that I'm allowed to post on anymore for 7 days. And I'm sitting
mind you. We had sponsors already lined up for that whole entire week.
Yeah. So I had to get all my team to deal with all moving things around. It was such a pain in the butt. Right. And then not to mention like the fact that you guys tune in every day and we do this show live every day. So you have no morning show. And I, you know, really missed being able to do a show for you guys. So I get home and I flip on CNBC. And wouldn't you know it, the very same thing that I believe got us yanked off of YouTube, which was a questioning. How can I say this so I don't get yanked off YouTube again? Getting the poke does not necessarily prevent you from getting the nasty virus, right? Is that elementary a way I could say it?
Yeah, the C.
The C.
V doesn't stop you from getting the C.
Right. Now, it may stop, and it very, very likely stops you from dying. That's what I said. We talked about that at length, and the data is overwhelming on that, right? So that absolutely is the case. But getting the V may not prevent you from spreading the C, right? With all of these breakthrough cases
that
are happening.
Can you really call them breakthroughs anymore? As many as there are?
I mean, at what point do you run out? Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, you know, can you, nevertheless, like that's as far as I'm going to say about it so I don't get yanked off YouTube again, right? Well, wouldn't you know it, I get home Friday night and I flip on CNBC, Billionaire Media Corporation, right? And who do they have on their air but this guy?
Meg said what's going on right now, which is going to be critical.
And wouldn't you know,
is going to be at what age
to get their boosters.
No?
One of the very things he talks about and one of the questions that she asks him is specifically about this breakthrough issue. And he says exactly what we said, which is, I want to be clear. And I'm not going to even play it here because I don't want them to think it's my voice with whatever YouTube, you know, AI algorithm thing that they're using where they're like, this channel is spreading misinformation, blah, blah, blah. Even if I'm playing a clip of Dr. Fauci saying it, doesn't matter. They'll attribute it to me or my channel and then take us down. In this interview, and I'll encourage you to go see it. It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. You can go to CNBC and watch it with their 1.73 million viewers.
Did you see what happened to Jordan Cheriton? So Jordan Cheriton got video from the January 6th thing, right? And his channel, and all he did was just got video. Like, he didn't talk, he didn't do anything. It was just video of what was going on. He was just documenting it. YouTube took his channel down for that video, yet CNN and all those other channels used his video and didn't get taken down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a double standard.
It's exactly what it is. It's a double standard.
That was so perfect.
Boom, double standard. Because here's exactly what happened. I mean, that Friday night, this interview He specifically asked about breakthrough cases. It's on YouTube. You can go watch it right now if you want. It's not been taken down, but you can clearly see that it doesn't have a lot of views, which is interesting. Normally these get like a lot of views, so maybe YouTube's just like suppressing it. I don't know. But he specifically asked about that and says, I want to be clear. The V, the poke, does not prevent you from getting the C. Oh, that's just what we said earlier in the day and got our channel taken down. But hey, if you're a mainstream media organization and you have Dr. Fauci say it, I guess it's okay then to say it. So in my appeals to YouTube to explain to them that what I said was exactly the same things that are coming out of the White House, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They don't want to hear it. They want to suppress and censor. That's what they want to do. Dr. Fauci, right there, answering those questions.
That's incorrect. What we said that we need to plan.
That's the interview. And by the way, good for them for asking that question. Like, these breakthrough cases are out of control. Like, so what's going on here? Good questions. He gave an honest answer. And that's exactly what we said on the show. But apparently you can't say that if you're not a mainstream media organization and you don't have billions of dollars at your disposal. You know, one of the things we learned, of course, over the past week while I was away is that you also had this double standard emerging about VIPs who are it's the best way to describe this. The Wall Street Journal did a pretty bombshell piece this week. The three-part piece while I was bedridden with COVID, a three-part investigation into Facebook, basically saying that the platform makes people angry and depressed, that's a surprise, right? And that the company exempts a huge class of VIP users from its rules. That was revealed. And regarding harassment and incitement of violence. So they basically say, hey, if you are a VIP, you don't have to deal with any you are exempt from the harassment and incitement of violence. And there's a double standard. You get to rise above it all. You're a VIP. And do you think for one second that YouTube is any different? I'll throw that out to you. Does anyone think that YouTube is any different?
Well, like
there's a certain set of rules, you know?
Yeah. What is it? Rules for me or thee, not me?
Right.
There's a hashtag that started on Instagram and Facebook. It was a hashtag natural immunity because people were having a discussion about natural immunity, you know, which is like, why can't we have a discussion? And they actually blocked that hashtag and took all the posts down where people were just trying.
YouTube or Facebook?
Instagram and Facebook. It's like we can't even have a conversation. That's the scary part. It's like where are they getting their information? Like I said, I had a friend who had a bunch of stuff taken down, and he cited all his sources like a good journalist does. You cite your sources, where you're getting it, and a lot of it was from the CDC and stuff like that. But when they took his post down, they had no counter sources to give him.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're picking and choosing what we get to hear about. You're censoring voices from perhaps channels that aren't as big, as powerful as CNBC or billionaire media corporations. So after we were taken down, I went through and I just saw all of these other channels that were doing the exact same story. Still up there.
Well, and there's a piece that Tucker Carlson did. I sent you that piece where he went into stuff that we didn't even talk about, and his is still up.
Of course. Again, Fox News, billion, you know, think about the outcry from the Fox News shows if YouTube took them down. So a double standard, a VIP list? Of course. Of course there are. Shouldn't surprise any of us.
Well, and I always bring this up because I think it's important, you know, when we talk about this, that Rachel Maddow got away with for a year of Alex Jones level conspiracy theory on the Russiagate thing. And she's propped up by these channels. And that was, and that's Alex Jones level stuff. You're going to take somebody like Alex Jones down, but yet she's able to get away with it because she's mainstream media, whatever that means these days.
Right. Right. Who deems who? I mean, who's the one doing the anointing, by the way? Like, you're mainstream media. You're a mainstream media organization, and therefore we should trust you. I love, like, when you sign up for, like, I used this example the other day, but we got our Amazon, our Echo Show, you know, that the, it's like a I don't know how you describe it, like a video screen that can play photos of your family and things like that, and has a speaker. And I wanted it just for the photos for the family. Well, when you're setting it up, it says you can choose your news sources from trusted sources. And it gives you like a list of like trusted news sources. It's like CNN, Fox, you know, like that's my choice. Like those are my choices for trusted news sources. I'm gonna put my, yeah, that's what I want my trusted news sources to be. Who you deem to be trusted news sources.
Well, and that's like when I downloaded Apple News, I was like, I'm gonna try this Apple News thing. It said, here's the recommended news, and it was all CNN, Fox, and all that other stuff. I had to like say that I didn't want that stuff, and then I had to like physically search for the things that I wanted that I consider better news, but they weren't recommended at all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So this is the garbage that we deal with. I mean, there's an absolute double standard. I'm not surprised at all that, you know, there's plenty of the, you can go and see this Dr. Fauci interview where he says the exact same thing that we said, but yet our, you know, their channel's still up. CNBC is not getting community strikes against it. So now I've got a community strike against my channel, which lasts 90 days. 90 days. It's kind of like, we're watching you, you know? You say anything that violates or goes against what we deem to be true from whoever, these trusted sources, can't say it. Can't say it, or you'll be spreading misinformation. Okay, so literally on the same day that I talk about this, this guy goes on CNBC and says the exact same thing, almost word for word, what we did. This video is up there. This video is up there. What happened to him? What happened to CNBC? Nothing. Nothing happened to them.
Well, and you're, and you are living it right now. You are proof that what we were told about the V isn't actually what, you know what I mean? Like initially we all thought you get the V, you don't get the C, and you mm-hmm. don't spread the C. Wait, nope. Now, you know what I mean? So, and right. You can't even talk about your lived experience.
I'm going to try to, and I'm all, hopefully I don't get yanked down for that. I'm going to try to talk about my experience here in a second, but. Excuse me. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Stamps.com. Stamps.com. These guys have done an amazing job of supporting our show and helping you save a boatload of money out there. Because who wants to go to the post office right now in a pandemic, right? You want to go to the post office and actually spend more money by going to the post office than you would at home?
Not me. I got a whole bunch of stuff I'm selling for my gear in my studio because I'm minimizing or whatever. So I invested in this. I got myself a 70-pound scale and a bunch of labels so that I can just do that all from here and not have to go like take the single package and go to the post office and all that. So I'm kind of excited about using the system. I just got my scale on Monday.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what David's talking about is he used our code. He got a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments, no contracts. All you got to do is go to stamps.com. You click on that little microphone icon on the upper part of the screen up there. See right up at the top of the screen, there's a little microphone. Click on that and then use that code INVEST, promo code INVEST, and you'll get that 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. And you can print anything right from home. U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just schedule a pickup or drop it off. It's that simple. And you get discounts up to 40% off postal rates and up to 66% off of UPS shipping rates. Why wouldn't you? Unless you want to just like wasting money, right? Like if you like wasting money, then don't use stamps.com. But if you want to save some money and do it from your home where you don't have to worry about waiting in line at the post office or UPS, then save some money. Our friends at stamps.com use that promo code INVEST. Our thanks to them. So I did want to talk about what happened to me personally this past 10 days, just from a health perspective. So you know the story now about our channel getting shut down for 7 days because of covering the V, covering the jab, and trying to bring truth to you. By the way, let me just say, after Friday's show, the 10th, the episode that we did on the 10th, so many of you wrote and sent emails to me saying thank you for covering this part of the story, because I had this issue happen to me and I thought I wasn't allowed to talk about it. There's been no reporting on it in the mainstream media. And so thank you for sending me those emails. I saw them. I'm sorry to hear that you went through that, that you've experienced that from a health perspective. So I totally understand.
I got the same thing. I had people find me on social and were sending me messages on my channels, thanking me as well. And sending you well wishes.
Oh, thank you. So let me just say, I don't know how, but somehow COVID swept through our house somehow. And by the way, I never really leave the house, but I got COVID really badly to the point where I thought I was going to die. No joke.
Do you think you got it from the theater?
It's hard to say. I mean, we think that my wife had it a few days beforehand and she recovered more quickly. And then, you know, I was taking care of her. She was in the bedroom for a couple of days, but she kind of recovered a little more quickly. And then it hit me and it hit my son. So it was like, well, I think all of us probably had it, you know, it kind of hit us probably all at once, deep coughing. And obviously with the kids, it's like they recover like much, much quicker because of it. So I don't know where I got it. You know, we can always have conjecture about that, right? Like we went to a big kind of family gathering event at one thing, and maybe that was where we got it. We don't know. It could have been at the theater. It could have been just touching a random doorknob somewhere. Who knows, you know? You don't know. But nevertheless, yeah, my son got COVID. He tested positive. He tested positive. He was sort of on the tail end of, he never had the symptoms that I had. You know, he definitely had a heavy cough, and he lost a sense of smell. But beyond anything beyond that, it really didn't affect him that much. He was a little tired and stuff, but nothing bad. I was the one that got hit the hardest. Now I will say, and I asked my doctor, I said, is there any difference in the types of Vs that have been administered to people? Like, are you hearing from people that anecdotally or otherwise in your practice that, hey, because this person got this type of V, like a Johnson & Johnson, he might be less likely, or he'd be more likely to have worse symptoms because he didn't get double poked, you know? And she said yes. Excuse me. Said yes. That my wife got the, I think it was Pfizer or Moderna, I forget which one she got, but she got double poked. And I got the single J&J. And I felt like I was going to die. I'm not kidding. There were days, I mean, I didn't leave the bedroom for like, this is the longest I've been out of the bedroom right now to do this show today. And I got to tell you what, as soon as the show is over, I'm going right back to bed.
Yeah. It's like, I text you and I just got like little responses and I was concerned because that's not typical of you. So I knew you must've been bad off because usually we talk, you know, throughout the day.
Yeah. Yeah. And usually voice messages back and forth. And mm-hmm. I couldn't even look at a screen, like seeing doubles of stuff and just really felt like, you know, I felt, and I really was thinking about like my own mortality. I was thinking about who would take care of my family, all of those things. And I really felt like nonstop fever. This is the first time where I haven't had a fever kind of consistently, for in the last few hours. So a bit of that 102 degree fever, 101 degree fever for past, I don't know, 7 days or whatever, nonstop, sweating like crazy and just really just awful. It's honestly the worst I've ever felt. I've had pneumonia, I've had bronchitis, and I had my wisdom teeth out where that was incredibly painful, you know, but I have never felt this bad from getting COVID. So it was just entire body, just totally achy. Everything hurts, you know. No taste, no smell, can't taste anything. Nothing.
And you said Natalie still can't taste anything or her?
She can't smell. She can taste. And my son can't smell either, but he can taste. But I don't have anything. I can't. My wife just brought me up a mint tea and I can't smell any of the mint. Like mints are pretty strong, you know. I can't smell anything.
Do you feel like a coolness, you know, like the mint usually has when you smell it?
Not really. No. I will say that when she put like peppermint on my temples, my wife, she put like a peppermint oil like on my temples. I felt like the tingling of that, but I couldn't even smell that. Like even smelling like the peppermint, you know, like essential oils on my neck and stuff. Normally that's really pungent, you know. I couldn't smell anything. So, you know, I don't wish this on anybody. But again, I got the V, right? And what they said then to us is, you know, you've got to clamp down. And so my kids' school, like their bubble that for their class, they got sent home. So they're homeschooling for the next 2 weeks. All this, we clear this out of our house. We have to go get tested. I think we're going to get tested tomorrow. It's been, I guess, six days since my positive test result, whatever. And we'll see from there. I guess the only good news is now that I feel like I'm recovering, maybe I've got some sort of super immunity now, which we should be able to have conversations about. We should be able to talk about.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say natural.
Yeah, I won't say anything. God knows. Right? Because that's the thing, like having this level of, like, you know, antibodies and all of that, like what does that give you? You know, it gives you like, and I've seen reports about this idea of like a super immunity now because of not only having the V, but also having had it. So bottom line is I had the V, didn't prevent me from getting the C, you know, I got it. And I guess, you know, that's exactly the same thing that Dr. Fauci said last Friday, but his channel didn't get taken down off of YouTube. He's allowed to say whatever he wants and to say exactly what I said. So yes, at least it kept me from dying. You know, at least I'm not dead. You know, I don't know what else to say about it other than, I just want to thank everyone for their well wishes and all your kindness. I don't want anyone. I mean, if there's anything you can do to make sure that this doesn't happen to you, it is miserable. I mean, I'm 44 years old and I thought I was dying. Like I thought I was dead. That's how bad it was. And I was like in a haze thinking about like, what am I going to do to take care of my family? Like when I go, you know, like, bought this house, like we're just, you know, like all of those things. I'm like, is this it? You know? And it wasn't like fever dreams. I really felt that bad. And you know, when you feel that bad, you're like, there's nothing I can do. Like we did telemedicine with the doctor and like, is there anything we can do? And like, not really. You just got to, you know, a lot of liquids, take these vitamins, do what you know, just rest. Thankfully I didn't have to go to the hospital. You know, thankfully I wasn't there in an ICU bed somewhere on oxygen. So anyway, that's all I want to say about that, but I'm still recovering. I still don't have the energy that I'd love to have, to keep a more like cogent show today. So I definitely wanted to try to do a show, just kind of bring people up to speed on that. It was definitely hard. I mean, I'm just curious how many people here in the chat have experienced it, and what you guys experienced from a family perspective. Betty Boop says, yeah, there are no ICU beds. Yeah, well, there aren't. That's true. Like, if you're in the state of Mississippi specifically. She said, Imperial Majesty said I had COVID. All I could do was drink water and eat oranges. Did you take, were you able to taste the oranges? James Figueroa says it's in the white box. You showed that on your show. What's that? You talking about? Spent nearly died 2 weeks before the big announcement in January 2020. Lisa says we've escaped the sea so far, including my ER nurse daughter. Oh no, DJ Maxon says my mom is in the ICU right now in Georgia. With COVID? Lisa says I slept in the bathtub when I had it. Yeah, I know. I was so sick. I mean, I just, the only thing I could do to get warm was to take like a ragingly hot bath and sit in there. Yeah.
Richard said when I had the C, I couldn't taste anything or smell. That seems to be a common thing. I had a friend that hasn't had the ability to taste or smell since, oh my gosh, it's been probably 8 months, 9 months. So it's probably permanent. Could you imagine not being able to taste food the rest of your life?
No. I mean, we have a friend in this whole long this whole long COVID thing is real. And we have... couple of friends who experienced that, who got it like a year ago, still don't have like sense of smell back. Some who don't have a sense of taste back. I can't imagine. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's so sad. My wife and I were trying to watch the other night. She's like, can you think you can sit on the couch and watch? And I was like, okay. So I barely flopped down to watch Top Chef Amateurs, which is like a new version of Top Chef, and just like watching them make this pasta, and I was like, ooh, that looks good, delicious. And I'm like, wouldn't matter, can't taste it. My little girls made some chocolate chip cookies, and they brought me in the room, they brought me two chocolate chip cookies that they made. I'm like, I'm sure they probably taste good, I can't taste them at all, no thanks. Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, let's talk about what a crap show Mississippi is. As many of you have been saying here in the chat already, man, there's no ICU beds. There's COVID cases surging. No one seems to know what the heck they're doing. Politicians don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. It's one of my favorite sayings, my dad would say. And Mississippi is leading the pack right now as the worst case scenario. Mississippi governor, this guy, I don't know how this guy is still governor, but I don't know if you caught this interview. It's pretty remarkable. Jake Tapper asks him a series of questions about, you know, look, your state is awful right now. Like what your plan was has totally failed. And are you now like willing to admit defeat and then also consider like a new course of action? Watch this interview. And it's just, this is like a really like a masterclass in like what not to say.
Let's talk about what you and the legislature in Mississippi is doing, because I'm sure I don't need to tell you, Mississippi this week became the state with the worst number of coronavirus deaths per capita. In fact, if Mississippi were its own country, you would be second in the world only to Peru in terms of deaths per capita. That's a horrible, horrible, heartbreaking statistic. So with all due respect, Governor, your way is failing. Are you going to try to change anything to change this horrible statistic from what you're doing already?
Yeah, well, obviously in Mississippi, our legislature is a part-time legislature. Sometimes I wonder if in America, if our Congress was part-time, we wouldn't be in a better position.
What? First of all, what the hell are you talking about? First of all, in Mississippi, we have a part-time legislature. So I have to think, you know, if in America, if at the in Washington, if they had a part-time legislature in Washington, we'd probably be in a much better place. Like, what you're saying is making no sense, because you do have a part-time legislature and you're the worst. How is that what an idiot thing to say?
But let's talk a little bit about
better position than
Mississippi
what?
And where
Your
we
state
are with
is
the
second
virus.
second worst in the world. I mean, I how can you
let's
say that?
Let's talk about where we are and why.
How could you say that? You're the second worst in the world.
Jake, let's talk about where we are and why we are there. In large part, just like the summer of 2020, it was the Sun Belt states that saw the initial surge from the Delta variant. It started, the first state that I saw seeing upticks was Missouri, and then it was Arkansas, and then it was Louisiana, and now it's Mississippi. Our surge went from less than 100 cases per day in Mississippi to 3,600, much like what happened in the country of Israel, like what happened in the country of Great Britain and in England. We saw a very quick spike, and now we're seeing a very quick decline in the total number of cases. We spiked at about 3,600. We're now half of that in our state. As you know, right. Unfortunately, fatalities is a lagging indicator when it comes to the virus. It is a lagging indicator. And so timing has as much to do with that statistic that you used as anything else. As we see in 2021, what occurred in 2020 as the Delta variant moves around the country, and it's going to happen. The president wants you to believe that the Delta variant is only affecting Republicans in red states.
Change anything?
That's just not true. That is not a fact. That is just not true. And so what you're going to see...
Mr. Governor, my point is this. You compared yourself to Israel.
The Delta variant is going to continue to move around the country, and you're going to see fatalities rise in other states. And so here's what we need to focus on, Jake, okay? Let's focus on this.
But my question is, what are you going to do to change this?
The best way that Americans... the best thing for Americans to do to protect themselves from the virus, and again, we believe in personal responsibility. Individual Americans and individual Mississippians
make
good decisions to take care of themselves. The best thing that Americans can do, number one, is to talk to their doctor about potentially getting the vaccine, because in our state, some 89% of those hospitalized and some 87% of those who are of the deaths are actually coming from those who are unvaccinated.
Just sneak that in there. So I think the best thing to do is just call your doctor, see if your doctor agrees or not, or maybe they're, who knows what kind of doctor you have, but because the overwhelming majority of people who are dying in our hospitals are unvaccinated. So yeah, maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we should have helped support that. I'm just going to say that quickly. I'm going to say that quickly because I don't hope Trump's not watching.
Number one thing that you can do is you can talk to your doctor about getting vaccinated. The number two thing is, if you get the virus, and this is very important, if you get the virus, please talk to your doctor about the monoclonal
antibody
treatment.
You're not going to change anything.
That is the best way in which to do that. And unfortunately, the Biden administration continues to try to reduce the allocation to red states like Mississippi and Florida of that monoclonal antibody treatment.
Governor.
It's outrageous.
Governor. If Mississippi were a country, you would have the second worst per capita death toll in the world. And I'm saying, are you going to do anything to try to change that?
Jake, as I mentioned earlier, deaths, unfortunately, are a lagging indicator. Our total number of cases went from 100 to 3,600, and over the last 2 weeks has declined. They have been cut in half. From 3,600 to 1,800. When you wanted me to come
you want to talk
about our number of cases, and then you want to talk about our hospitalizations. Now you want to talk about a lagging indicator, which is sad and it's
horrible. Trying to talk about dead Mississippians is what I'm trying to talk about.
All 9,000 Mississippians that have passed away. But let's put this in perspective, Jake. I mean, the reality is Mississippi accounts for 1% of the U.S. population. We account for 1.1% of the total number of cases in America, and we account for 1.29% of the total number of fatalities in America. And so the reality is the Delta variant is very transmissible, and it is moving around the country. If you want to talk about cases right now, talk about Kentucky or West Virginia, or what's happening in North Carolina, or moving into Southern Virginia.
I'm asking.
So let's not talk about my state, which is a total crap show. But let's talk about Kentucky. I don't know, Jake, if you saw, Kentucky's pretty crappy right now too, which is true. So is West Virginia. So is Georgia. Well, what about Texas? Major hotspots. But I don't have an answer for you. I don't have any plans at all to change anything here in Mississippi.
Asking you about your state, but I'm not going to ask you about West Virginia or Kentucky. I'm going to ask you about your state, and I'm just saying you seem to be very, very activated when it comes to fighting the mandate from the federal government. And I understand the arguments you're making, but what President Biden is trying to do is save lives. Now, you can think it's bad policy or it's unconstitutional, and that's fine. We can have that discussion. We already have. But he's trying to save lives. I'm saying to you, your way's not working. And whether you say it's a lagging indicator or whatever your argument is, Mississippi now has, if it were its own country, the second worst per capita death rate in the world.
In a world. It's like, you often wonder, you sort of wake up and you think, do these people even operate in the same universe? Do you ever feel that way? I mean, you look at some of these politicians turning everything they can into politics. You have all of the data in front of you as a governor, and yet you're still ignoring the science. You're still, you let the cat slip out of the bag there, and you mention actually, hey, the number of deaths that we're seeing, they're all in unvaccinated people. Overwhelmingly, we have no ICU beds left. So, but he's got to keep up political appearances. Got to make sure that, hey, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story. That's Mississippi. Yeah. And the list goes on, too. I mean, Texas, Kentucky. Why are we seeing such huge cases and surging right now? Is it the Delta variant? Is it some other variant in Kentucky now? There's this talk of this other more malicious variant that they're discovering now in nursing homes.
Did they tell you what variant you had?
No. Because I didn't get a blood test. So that's the thing. It's like, I don't even know at what point I did find out like what mine is, you know, but probably, who knows? And I don't know how you find that out. I guess you just got to get the blood test, right?
Yeah, but I don't even know how they find out then. Wouldn't they have to go in and like microscopically look at the, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, are they only really looking at those that have had, you know, died from it so they can do an autopsy and figure that out? I mean, I don't know. Looking at the blood counts and so forth there. But, yeah. You know, the arguments is that the variants are maybe more transmissible but less strong.
Well, and if everybody's so backed up with work and everything in these hospitals, then who's doing all this work to find out what's what? I mean, I don't know. That's where my mind just is like, from a work aspect, it seems impossible to that they're finding like which variant it is and everything like that. Like how, I don't know. It just seems because they would have to, it has to be a blood test, and then they have to microscopically compare that to another. You know, it's like what part of it is different where they're like, okay, this one's the Delta. Oh, this one's slightly different. This is the Mu now. And how do you know? And it's more transmissible. Well, how do you know that? They haven't pulled it in a lab and transmitted it to other things and seen that it's quicker, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. David says, David Foley in our chat says, Clayton, do you think the V kept you out of the ICU? I don't know. It's hard to say, you know?
I mean, yeah, because there's a lot of people who get it who aren't V'd and they're fine, and some people aren't. I think it's just chance, because I feel like I had it because I've had a lot of the same symptoms Clayton is talking about at the beginning when there still were no vaccine, no V's, sorry, and I couldn't get tested because there weren't tests anywhere where I lived yet, but I felt like I had never felt before. For about 3 or 4 days. And then when I went to later get the antibody test, that was $400. And I was like, I'm not paying $400 to get that. So I'm fairly certain I had it and I recovered fine. It was, and I've had the flu 3 times in my life, and that was a lot worse for me, but that doesn't necessarily mean it would be for you. We're going to all react differently to something. It's a foreign invader of our body, and our bodies react differently.
I have to say, though, I will say, as I said this to my wife the other day, this felt unlike anything that I've ever had before. Like, and I said this, and maybe it's only because maybe it's my bias coming in. I don't know. But I said, it felt like artificial to me. Like, it made my body hurt in ways that I've never had happen with a flu or a cold or bronchitis or pneumonia or anything. Like, it felt, and you know, again, maybe this is just me thinking like, hey, I know where this came from. You know, I know where these jackasses created this thing in that lab, you know,
What you're saying is exactly what, because when I had what I feel was the C, I felt like, so if it felt like nothing I'd ever felt, but it was more like it wasn't taking over like I wasn't like flu symptoms. I didn't have a stuffed nose and all that stuff. It was just more like achy pain, like low grade fever, just really uncomfortable. Like I didn't fit in my body. Like I felt like I was not part of my body. And I felt stiff in my throat and like almost like if you have a swollen gland or something and it gets really tight and stiff, that's how my face felt, but it wasn't, you know what I mean? It wasn't tight or anything. It was a really weird feeling.
So maybe I'm not crazy about it. It felt like, I don't know. It feels like science fiction. Like, hey, if you could create something that makes someone feel this way, here's how like humans would create it and stick you with it. You know, that's what it feels like. And that's just my take on it. It felt like unlike anything I've ever been sick with before that you could argue was like a natural sickness, you know, like a flu or whatever floating around out there, you know? The worst that I ever felt before was with pneumonia. That was the worst I ever felt. But this puts that to shame. I mean, having COVID is the worst thing I've ever felt. And so I
was going to say like it was like really bad, but like when I had the flu, I couldn't sleep for several days. So I was like hallucinating. I actually called the ambulance when I had the flu, cause I thought I was dying, and they came and took my blood pressure and everything. And I was fine, but I was convinced I was dying because I hadn't slept in a few days. I had a high fever. So I had a much worse experience with the flu than.
Linda says, I felt the exact same as you. It sucked and truly do feel horrible. And you truly do feel horrible. Yeah. Jacob, sir, says, do this to gain your smell and taste back. Cut oranges to pieces, char it in a frying pan. After it's all brown, dip it in brown sugar while it's still hot and eat it. Okay.
I got so many messages of people giving me remedies for you. And I was like, if I would give Clayton all these remedies...
Yeah, I want to say thanks to all of our viewers who sent kind messages over the past week and sent them to David, sent them on our chat here. I will say, I mean, I don't know what you guys did when you guys were down and out with COVID, but I just like binge watched like crazy Netflix. So I watched, first of all, I caught up on Better Call Saul. So I finished all five seasons of Better Call Saul, which was excellent. Because I guess they're doing the sixth and final season right now. So they're filming that. So I'll be ready for that now. And I watched a documentary called The Staircase, which, did you ever watch the Making a Murderer show on Netflix?
Yes, that was actually really good.
So that was recommended to me a few years ago. It said if you like the, you know, true crime, Making a Murderer, then you'd like The Staircase. And so I watched an episode of that a year ago or 2 years ago and never finished it. And so I was like, well, I have nothing else to do. And, that was fascinating. So it was slow moving though, cause it's, I don't know, it was shot a couple of years ago, but yeah, I watched that. Clayton, your face looks thin. James says, yeah, I've lost 10 pounds. Thanks to that's one positive with COVID. lost 10 pounds. And there's a new documentary on Netflix that I just started watching also called like Evil Genius. Happened in Erie, Pennsylvania. This like pizza bombing story, like crazy story, which I never remembered. And I worked in the news business. And I don't even remember this story. Anyway, so I got lots of binge watched.
Do you have Hulu?
Yeah.
I've been watching a show called Nine Perfect Strangers. That's pretty interesting. Oh, and The Morning Show's back.
Oh, yeah. So we want to watch The Morning Show on Apple TV. We want to watch, we still didn't watch Ted Lasso season 2 yet. So there's a lot of binging to do. I want to see when The Foundation comes out.
I've not even heard of that one.
Yeah, the big Foundation show, that's going to be like Apple's biggest one.
Bigger than Ted Lasso?
Arguably, the amount of money they're spending on it is this huge science fiction drama.
Hey, Francis, I didn't say that I did have C. I said I think I did. So I'm not claiming that I did. I didn't. There was no way for me to get tested at the time because they didn't have tests. I looked. And then when I went to get an antibody test later, they were going to charge me $400, and I'm not paying $400.
Well, you know what this speaks to? Forget the V, forget the C and all that stuff for a second here. You know what this speaks, it made me think about this, is how horrible America's healthcare system is.
Oh.
That, you know, let's talk about that. Like, maybe that gets lost in this whole nightmare here, which is, like, what if everyone was protected and taken care of, and you could, it wouldn't cost you $400 to find out if you had a deadly virus, right? Like, what if that was just part of your national healthcare to protect you, to protect its people? No, we don't have that, do we?
Nope. And that's the thing. Like, there were no tests at any of the places. Like, there's everybody saying, go get tested. But there were no tests within, like, I looked within 30, 40 miles of where I was. Nothing. And this was back in, what, like March? February, March of 2020?
Robin Lane says, what a concept. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's amazing. Let me just give you an example. You know, the National Healthcare Service here, where, you know, they've called us every day. Every day, see how we're doing. Just to check on us. Just to get an update on symptoms, just kind of let us know, like, our availability to kind of leave the house, et cetera, all of that. Medicine's free. Tests are free. They keep sending us codes, like, go get tested, you know, free tests, all of that. No, you know, you don't have to pay for any of it. They're tracking, making sure everything is good. They want to follow up, making sure your symptoms, you know, if this happens, then this, all of that.
So just kind of explain, because a lot of people here in the United States, we don't know what that's like. So what is the process like? So you started feeling sick. What did you do?
I went and got tested. So I did. There's a drive-through test, and they did the swab for me. And
what
my
did
wife.
That cost?
That was when we did, just because if you do that, just like you're going to go, like you're going to take a flight, you know, and you need to have like a negative test or something. If you're traveling to another country or whatever, I think it's $20. But if it's part of like figuring out if you're recovering and all that, then it's free. So if it's because you want to travel on a fancy trip to Africa, then it's $20, you know, which makes sense.
And so you got tested. They said you were positive, and said, and then what happened?
So I got tested, and then like a few minutes later, we get the text message alert to let us know positive or negative. Got the positive result. My wife got a negative result because she had already improved from it. And then the national health system like gave us a phone call and wanted to see how we're doing, and it's getting our symptoms and all of that. Wants to, you know, all just doing all the different checks and all of that stuff. And then follow up with us like later that evening, put us in touch, you know, make sure that our doctor knows about it, our family doctor, et cetera. But there's every day calling just to make sure, like, how are you doing with your symptoms, et cetera. And then they also contacted the school. We let them know about the bubble because of my three kids, and we got them tested as well. And then my son was tested positive. I don't know if I missed anything, but that's pretty much what it was.
And so, and that cost you what?
Nothing.
Nothing. So you have no, like, you're not going to have to figure out how you're going to have to pay that bill later because you had, you know, all the kids were sick, right, and everything, like.
No, and we did telemedicine with our doctor. So they arranged it through the hospital. The doctor came on, and we sat there, and we talked for like a half an hour. And there's no bill for that. so I won't have to pay for any of that. Imagine, you know, imagine taking care of your people. So, and COVID death rate has plummeted as a result, and almost the entire country is vaccinated. So, yeah. But as someone said here in the thing, Gary Giordano says Clayton had the and has had the C, but not on a ventilator. It says a lot. And I was worried about that, to be honest with you. You know, like I said, I don't know. And the answer could be, I don't know the answer to this. Like, do I feel like the V kept me out of the ICU? I don't know. You know, you could say one way or the other, maybe. I had.
Yeah, because I mean, I know people who haven't had it and been on the ventilator, but I know people who have had it and didn't. Like I said, everybody reacts differently to a foreign thing. And there's been plenty of people that it's just been like a cold. It just goes right through them. And for some reason, it's just like anything else. Like, some people get cancer, some people get pneumonia, some people get these things, and yeah, our bodies are just different.
I mean, for me, I suffered from bronchitis in high school. I got a really bad case of it one time where I was coughing up blood, and it really inhibited my ability to breathe, like, just for years afterwards. So as a result of that, I thought, you know, there were some times where it was like labored breathing. I was, you know, and so I don't know. If anything, it did keep me out of there. That was what I was worried about, was because of my former bronchitis diagnosis, that could have put me in there. So who knows? Susan Bame says RSV is also going around. Yeah. You know what I'm worried about is like the long tail of all this, you know, like, because we don't know yet, right? We don't have the data. We don't have enough years of data on this yet to know, like, what's the long tail on this? The brain fog. The lung stuff, you know, all of that.
I listened to an interview with Jimmy Dore, and the guy who actually invented the mRNA vaccine V. Dang it.
Yeah.
That's hard. The V. Which was a really interesting interview talking about, you know, how this thing could work. And it's scary. It's scary stuff. And it's so scary. What's scarier is the fact that the guy that invented it, that invented the mRNA vaccine or protocol, is being basically silenced. Like, we can't have the conversation. We can't listen to what he's saying and have a conversation around it. Jeez. And that's really scary.
Yeah. Betty Boop says long-term tremors. James says I get chills. Yeah, I don't know. We just won't know, I guess, you know, for a number of years, I guess, until we have, like, to figure out what the long-term effects are of this, unfortunately.
Well, and what a shame is it that we have to sit here and try really hard not to say a word? A medical term. We have to sit right here and try not to say two medical terms because we could get suspended.
Right. Yeah. When these guys out there... Guys like Fauci, who say the same things that we were saying, you know, these guys who go out there on television and now they revise their statements, they come back and they don't get pulled down. You know, their videos get to stay up there. But when
I feel like Greg
Quocker
on Meet the Parents, like, I can't say bomb in a plane. What if I'm a bombardier? Bomb, 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 you know, like, uh-huh. I just can't say that word on a plane. Like,
yeah. Yeah, in a free-speaking country. Well, that's the thing, like Lisa says, like, in a free-speaking country. That's the thing. You know, people want to say America's the greatest country in the world, which is, as you know, total garbage. And when you ask them to, when you try to push back on those questions, people, what do you mean America's not the greatest country? Sure it is. Okay, in what way? All they come back to is, well, freedom. Oh, yeah? Freedom? Really? Plenty of countries that have more freedoms than the United States. Plenty of countries. If that's all you've got, keep looking.
And I always tell people, like, we are not granted free speech on this platform. We are not. And that's perfectly fine. This is a private platform. We do not have free speech. But the problem we have is that it's different rules for different people. If it was the same rules, that would be one thing, okay? If there's words that you can't say, then that needs to be clearly stated, and then the mainstream can't say it, the we can't say it, and nobody can say it, and those guidelines need to be clear. But that's the problem, is it isn't.
Right. Robin says, I'm not sure what freedom helped us a whole lot over the past year. I'm not sure that freedom helped us a whole lot over the past year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. We talked about Mississippi. Man, let's talk about this eviction moratorium, shall we? I'll do that, and I want to tell you about Policy Genius first. We got that. I want to play this video of Bill Gates. Your jaw's going to hit the floor when you see this video of Bill Gates in just a moment. So we've got a lot more to get to here on the show. I'm still going. I can't believe I'm sweating like crazy. I do feel like my...
At least nothing. It's not dripping down your face or anything yet. So you don't look pasty or anything.
Here's my hair, though. Look at this. This has been my my like bedhead. Like I've taken like a hot bath every day. So this is like my bath hair.
I think. Do you have like a soaker tub, like a big soaker tub?
I have a bit, yeah, like a big claw-footed, you know, old-looking tub.
Yeah, you look more like Robert Downey Jr. with your hair like that.
Yeah,
Iron Man. Say that. Say I'm Iron Man.
I'm not that out of it. Oh. America's
yeah, they might cheap. Take you down for misinformation if you say it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's tell you about our friends over at Policy Genius. If I can pull up my little sponsor thing here, and then we'll get back to the news here. So Policy Genius, summer's coming to an end. Oh, by the way, happy fall. You know, today's the first day of fall. The leaves are about to fall off the trees.
I did not know that.
Today is the autumnal equinox. Yes, it is. Today is the first day of fall. My favorite season of the year is fall. While Mother Nature does her thing to prepare for the new season, you can do yours by getting free life insurance quotes with Policy Genius. I got to tell you, you know, having COVID this week and questioning whether or not I was going to live, you know, and I'm not saying that to make light of it at all. I really did. You know, you think about like taking care of your family. And what do you have in place to protect your family? And that's where Policy Genius comes in. It can't help you refresh your cool weather wardrobe, but it can help you shop for another kind of coverage, life insurance. You know, if someone relies on you for financial support like my family does, whether it's a child, an aging parent, or even a business partner, you need life insurance. You could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. It's rated number one by Forbes Advisor, higher than options from Ladder or Ethos or Bestow, all of them. Policy Genius is at the top. So head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. So our thanks to Policy Genius for their support of the show. Take care of your family, folks. Get some free quotes.
You know, somebody just said in the chat, like we should give the country back to the Indians. I wonder if we never would have taken their way of life. Like we would have more acclimated to them instead of like completely getting rid of them and changing the way society was. Like, I wonder if it would be more like that just seems more socialist in a way because they took care of each other. You know what I mean? The weakest of them, they took care of. I wonder how different it would be if we would have.
And the elderly, right? So when you say the weakest, the youngest and the elderly.
And they took care of kids as a collective.
Right. You know what's interesting about that? I thought a lot about this. I studied American or Native American history because I was a history major. But one of the areas, one of the specialties that I studied in was also modern Native American history. So, you know, Native Americans in the modern world, like what about 1980s, 1990s? Like how that, not just like the 1800s or 1700s in the United States, and fascinating. But I thought it was interesting. Over the past few weeks, we've been talking about Afghanistan, right? And the longest war in American history. And even if, and this is how incorrect Google is, right? What's the longest war in American history? Do a Google search. Longest war in American history. This is the answer you get. Well, it's not true.
Probably the American Indian War, right?
Exactly. 40 years. American Indian War. We can't talk about it. We can't talk about that.
Well, and that was actually, did we declare war in Afghanistan? I can't remember.
No. No. So how are we listing this as the war in Afghanistan? We never declared war in Afghanistan. We declared war against the Native Americans. And for 40 years in genocide. True genocide, but we can't talk about that. We can completely just hide it from history. You know, it's like while I was passed out with COVID this week, seeing what Texas is doing. You can't teach about slavery now. Pretend it doesn't exist. Can't teach about slavery. Can't teach about Native American genocide. It didn't exist. It didn't happen, everyone. Forget about it. Native Americans are fine. We didn't steal land from people.
It's a shame, you know, we can't talk about the history, but we also can't really talk about the future. We can't talk about anything that seems, you know, I'm dealing with a case right now, a business matter, where the person that I have a lawsuit with thinks that everything that's said negative is slander. And I think that that's a sad thing, that everything that we think is negative, we don't want to talk about because it makes us uncomfortable. It makes us uncomfortable to know that we had slavery. And in some people's, like, not too distant lifetime, like, we have people that are just passing away that had parents who had slaves. Like, it wasn't that long ago. Mm-hmm. And we're so afraid to talk about these things that are potentially seen as negative. But the thing is, if you do, that's how history doesn't repeat itself. We have to be willing to have those uncomfortable conversations. And I always bring up Germany because Germany teaches what Hitler did over there and talks about it openly with kids so that they understand that, yes, we have a stain. We all, any country that's formed has some kind of stain on them. But it's like we're never going to make things better. If we can't acknowledge the stains, then we can't progress and make things better for the future, because it's like we're progressing so slow because we don't talk about the uncomfortable things and move past them. We stay in them.
Yeah. When you don't shine a light on things and have a discussion about it and kids can learn about it in school, then you're doomed to repeat it. You know, Ken Burns came out yesterday, documentarian, and said that he sees like what's going on in the United States right now as very similar to the outbreak of the Civil War. He said, we're staring down the muzzle of a gun right now. Like, that's what we're seeing right now. That's what he's seeing as someone who spent years and years and years researching this, right? You can laugh it off or whatever you want, but that's what he's seeing. Like, similarities in this country right now. Should we talk about it? Should we just pretend like the Civil War never happened, never have a discussion about it?
Well, no. And I remember in my lifetime, when I was in history class, they referred to Indians as savages. So like this whole time when I was in school, I thought Indians were savages. And it wasn't until I got out and started reading books on shamanism and met some Indian people that I was like, holy cow, like I was misled during my school years to think that they were the problem. That we were the good people. And it turns out in almost every instance, we're not. I mean, look at what we're doing overseas right now. We just killed a family of 10 people.
Right.
And no accountability. Nobody's going to pay for that. Nothing's going to happen to anybody.
Let's see if I can get this story up here.
Thank you, Robert Zariski, for the $5 super chat.
All right. So let's talk about this eviction moratorium part deux. See if we can get this actually through. Because it can, you know, as we see an upswing in housing prices again, new mortgage applications are up again. So the housing market continues to roll on, you know. Even despite some people on mainstream media kind of saying, "Oh, is the gleam off the what's the saying? Is the gleam off the toaster? Gleam off the shine off the shine off the apple. I don't know.
Shine on, you crazy diamond.
Anyway, housing is doing just fine. But you know what's not doing fine are those people that can't afford their rent anymore and who are losing their homes in droves. Well, now Elizabeth Warren and Cori Bush have partnered up to try to see what they can do on this eviction moratorium part two, to extend new legislation if passed in Congress. So basically, they have a solution to help millions of renters stay in their home in the face of the COVID pandemic. The Supreme Court blocked the Biden administration's previous attempt. Warren and Bush will introduce new legislation this week. The new legislation is called the Keeping Renters Safe Act. The legislation would prevent or would protect renters from eviction by amending the Public Health Service Act. And the Public Health Services Act already empowers the federal government to respond to communicable diseases such as COVID-19. The Keeping Renters Safe Act effectively would classify evictions as contributing to the spread of communicable disease. So this legislation would give the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the CDC the ability to stop the spread of the disease. Through the legislation.
I wonder if the Supreme Court would have turned that down had, you know, Wall Street and a bunch of these big companies not bought up a bunch of real estate from us. You know what I mean? While we're in this thing. Like, I wonder if it was actually, you know, small people that weren't these big corporations owning these houses, if they even would have gotten involved.
That's a good question. I mean, clearly not. I mean, right. I mean, it's a rhetorical question, right? I mean, we know that the number of cases that come before the Supreme Court that have to do with cultural issues is almost nil, right? The cases that the Supreme Court deals with are making sure that businesses can continue to make money. Like, that's it. It's David versus Goliath. That's what the Supreme Court those are the cases the Supreme Court actually handles mostly. It's big businesses versus the little guy. The little guy getting screwed. And the Supreme Court ends up siding with the big business. That's what happens over and over again. So Warren and Bush say that evicting renters during the COVID-19 pandemic, for example, is more than an economic issue. It's a health crisis. They say eviction moratoria could result in at least hundreds of thousands of Americans becoming homeless, which could increase the risk of spreading COVID-19. So they're tying it to this. And I'd say, great. I'm fine with that. Tie it to it, you know? Get creative.
Whatever you got to
do. Get creative. They say the pandemic isn't over. We have to do everything we can do to protect renters from the harm and trauma of needless eviction, which upends the lives of those struggling to get back on their feet.
You know what would have helped more? A UBI.
Yeah. A universal basic income.
Yeah.
As we've talked about here on the show before, like, imagine if this country had actually helped its people rather than just stood lockstep with big business and made sure that big businesses got billions of dollars in monthly bailouts.
And then have to turn around and fight and all of this stuff that they're doing to try to keep people in their homes.
Right. So, you know, as you remember that what happened before in response to the original eviction moratorium, the federal eviction moratorium that ended in early 2020, Donald Trump signed an executive order to grant the CDC authority to impose a temporary eviction moratorium in September 2020, which stopped evictions for a while. And then there were several extensions by the Biden administration. He extended another one for 30 days. So it's going to that'll dry up in October. So the kind of toothless one that President Biden signed a few weeks ago dries up in October. It's very narrow anyway. I don't think it's going to affect many people anyway. So this announcement, if they pass this legislation, and that's what, frankly, the Supreme Court's been saying, like, unless there's legislation, we can't do anything. So now Congress can put up or shut up. Here's the legislation. Pass it. Get it passed so these people aren't thrown out of their homes. So the Keeping Renters Safe Act comes in response to the U.S. Supreme Court finding that the CDC didn't have the legal authority to create a federal eviction moratorium because Congress didn't authorize it. Duh. Well, here's the opportunity. Authorize the damn thing. Write it into legislation. Now what will the Supreme Court say? So it's only a legislative proposal at this point. Congress would have to pass the legislation and Biden would have to sign it. There's no guarantee that Congress is going to pass this legislation.
Does it benefit people?
It benefits a lot of people.
Well, then they're not going to pass it.
Yeah. I mean, landlord groups are definitely likely to oppose this. These millionaire landlord groups, by the way, it's not even like the mom and pop landlord. It's the millionaire giant hedge fund Wall Street landlord groups that have the legal firepower to hire lawyers and go to the Supreme Court and to take these things there and argue that these are a violation of their rights. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Just let me know in the chat. Do you think Congress has the balls to do this? Pass this legislation? Biden sign it? Or are they going to punt? Are they going to punt once again? But we're getting into some tricky times now because today is the first day of fall, right? Today is September 22nd, the first day of autumn. It's going to get cold, right? We're seeing coronavirus cases surging across the country, and particularly in areas that get very cold temperatures. I mean, Chicago, seeing huge surge. We're going to have a tricky time for people. Going to be out of a house, no place to live. And we already know that homeless shelters have been overrun. Where are people going to go? I guess if they're not rich, then no one cares about them, right? Just die on the streets, because that's America.
Well, and these Wall Street, you know, homeowners and stuff, they're not going to, like, you know, say, oh, I got a building that's like 50% empty. I could give some people places to stay. Nope. They're not. They are not compassionate people. They don't care.
They don't care. They don't care.
Because it affects the bottom line. Can't have that. I mean, it's actually illegal. It's illegal for them to not focus on profits.
Yeah, like, hey, that's, you know, I can't as a shareholder. We've got a share. I love that argument, right? We have an obligation to our shareholders.
I could go to jail if I don't make them rich.
Obligation to our shareholders. Oh, boy. All right, we got one more story. I want to play this Gates video for you here, and then we will go from there. But first, I got to tell you about our friends over at HelloFresh. So HelloFresh takes the stress out of mealtime. America's most popular meal kit is our friends over at HelloFresh. Huge fans of HelloFresh because, number one, I think right now with the cost of everything going up, I think the biggest thing for me right now, the fact that you could save upwards of 30% off your grocery store bill by using HelloFresh, that's how much you save. Just by using HelloFresh. They have over 25 fresh recipes every week. So you want to make a 20-minute meal, make some Kraft burgers. You can do pescatarian options, vegetarian options. You've got a large family. That's great. You can have as many people as you want in the order. Or if it's just two of you, that's great. You can pick and choose based on the size of your family and your dietary requirements. Delivered fresh ingredients right to your door every week. And there's no commitment. Ever. You can skip weeks if you want, like if you're traveling, doesn't matter. And they don't skimp on stuff, right? They don't skimp on the protein. You think, oh, they're going to give me like a little tiny piece of chicken. No, 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 no. They give you proper portions. It's fresh and affordable. It's all chef created delicious recipes from like $7 per meal, basically. Delicious options with these great recipe cards. It gets the whole family involved in making the dinner plans together. They're easy to follow recipe cards. The kids love doing it. That's what we love doing. And we made the carnitas tacos on the lettuce wraps. Oh, so good. And the kids are able to figure out the ingredients and do all of that. And you can prepare it in like under 30 minutes. So great. But like
even
I said,
if you don't have your sense of taste or smell, you still know you're eating good, fresh food.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I can't taste anything right now because of COVID. But it's actually making my stomach rumble just looking at these pictures.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
I know. Today is honestly like one of the first days I've actually had an appetite. I'm looking at that Kraft burger right now. I'm like, oh,
I was
man,
just gonna. I was just gonna talk about that.
I'm like, I want that Kraft burger. I want that Kraft burger. So give them a try right now, and you get 14 free meals. So not only are you getting the free shipping right to your door, right? You're saving money from the cost of going to the grocery store, and you're getting 14 free meals. Just use that link, HelloFresh.com/invest14. Our thanks to HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. We really appreciate them. Thanks so much, HelloFresh, for supporting the show. All right. So, final story that I'm. Let's take it home. And we talked a lot. This is the most I've talked in 10 days.
Really quick, we got a super chat. Clayton, are you still planning on making the 1,000 to 10,000 crypto training course? If so, how do I pre-register? Glad you're feeling better.
Maybe once I get better and can wrap my heads around my head around some things, I might consider that. Yeah. All right. Oops, here we go. All right, let's talk about former Microsoft CEO, founder Bill Gates. And in his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know if you caught this interview last night, but pretty amazing, kind of jaw-dropping response from Judy Woodruff, who I think is a fantastic journalist. She works for the PBS NewsHour now. She's had many jobs in journalism, but she's always been very fair, straightforward, and does a great job. And I guess it was sort of surprising to see Judy Woodruff, of all people, like, go for the jugular on these questions about Jeffrey Epstein. And good for her for pressing him on this. I mean, like, if I had to throw this out there, what do you guys think? What have you guys heard so far about Bill Gates and Jeffrey Epstein?
Like, just that they hung out a couple times, you know, just nonchalant.
Yeah. They just they hang out, dinners, right? Well after the fact. He was soliciting prostitutes and all of this stuff, right? I mean, but it speaks to this, like, this billionaire class that you're off limits. No one can touch you. Don't ask questions like this. You can go to his private island, Jeffrey Epstein's private island. There's a lot of people that believe that one of the reasons it led to the divorce for Bill Gates and Melinda Gates is tied directly to Jeffrey Epstein. Why didn't I know about this? How did you manage to keep this quiet for so long? And the dirt that was coming out as a result of that, as part of their divorce proceedings. So anyway, Judy Woodruff last night had the audacity to ask actually some tough questions of Bill Gates. I just want you to watch as he literally, like, moves around in his chair, like playing with his hands. Like, normally, whenever I've seen a Bill Gates interview, he just kind of sits back, like, pretty laconically like this, right? Like, well, you know, this is how he kind of usually answers questions. Watch him fidget around, playing with his hands, and he can't answer these questions.
Number of meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, who, when you met him 10 years ago, he was convicted of soliciting prostitution from minors. What did you know about him when you were meeting with him, as you've said yourself, in the hopes of raising money?
You know, I had dinners with him. I regret doing that. He had relationships with people he said, you know, would give to global health, which is a interest I have. You know, not nearly enough philanthropy goes in that direction. You know, those meetings were a mistake. They didn't result in what he purported, and I cut them off. You know, that goes back a long time ago now. There's, you know, so there's nothing new on that.
It was reported that you continue to meet with him over several years, and that, in other words, a number of meetings. What did you do when you found out about his background?
Well, and, you know, I've said I regretted having those dinners, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Well, he's dead, so you know, in general, you always have to be careful. I'm very proud of what we've done in philanthropy, very proud of the work of the foundation. That's what I get up every day and focus on.
That's what a man who just like completely had no idea how to react to that.
Well, he's dead. What does that mean? You mean you're going to be, someone's going to try to come after you too? Like, is that, what does that even mean?
It's like, hey, David, you know, the time you spent with Epstein and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, you know, he's dead and it's Taco Tuesday. So I'm going to go grab some tacos, down at Taco Bell.
Yeah. Netflix has a new show on tonight. So, right. I mean, you gotta be careful. Right. And, I regret it. I'm
proud of the tacos I eat. I'm proud of the food I put in my body.
Like, what is he talking about? I mean, clearly someone who has, I mean.
And as you've said yourself, in the hopes of raising money.
Watch this.
I had.
Let me move around.
With him.
Oh, where's my wedding ring? Oh, that's right. I can't find my wedding ring anymore.
Regret doing that. He.
It's like, what a tell that is, right? Like, The thing that led to my divorce. It's not there. Okay.
I would be like, okay, so then what is your definition of dinner?
Yeah, is that a problem? If that's not a big deal, then what is your definition of dinner?
Yeah, and where did you have dinner? Did you have it on some island? Did you fly on a plane to go to some island to have dinner? Or, you know,
we know from the reports that yes, he was on his on the island apparently multiple times, like while Bill Clinton was there. I mean, like, well, these questions are off limits. You can't ask these kinds of questions. Jeffrey Epstein's dead. Just have some respect for him being dead.
Yeah,
you know, just he's dead.
Yeah. Relationships with people he said, you know, would give to global health, which is a interest I have. You know, not nearly enough philanthropy goes in that direction. You know, those meetings were a mistake. They didn't result in what he purported, and I cut them off. You know, that goes back a long time ago now. So there's nothing new on that.
It was reported that you continue to meet with him over several years. And that, in other words, a number of meetings. What did you do when you found out about his background?
Well, and you know, I've said I regretted having those dinners.
I don't want to answer your question. That the question was, what did you like? Let's play that. What was the question, Judy?
His background. And that, in other words, a number of meetings. What did you do when you found out about his background?
Okay, so the question is, what did you do when you found out about his background? And yet you were still having meetings with him. That's the thing. And he's denying it or tries to avoid the question. So what did you do when you found out? Okay, what did you do when you found out about his questionable background? And the fact that he had already been, conviction for soliciting prostitutes.
Well, and you know, I've said I regretted having those dinners, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Can we change the word dinners to massages just for fun?
Oh,
or escapades, like something other than dinner. Cause I don't feel like dinner is the word he's actually looking for.
Right. Like, I don't know what kind of dinners you have, but they usually don't involve like 14-year-old girls. So I don't know. Also, by the way, I love that he, you know, Microsoft owns Skype, and like even he had trouble with Skype there. Did you notice it caught up to itself?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, watch this part on Skype.
His background.
Well, and you know, I've said I regretted having those dinners. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Is there a lesson?
Yeah, don't get caught.
Yeah, don't get caught. I mean, you know, what's the lesson? What's the lesson? Here's a great answer.
Well, he's dead, so
That's the lesson. Like, the lesson is don't molest underage girls.
He's sleeping with the fishes. I mean,
so that's a lesson, right? Because that's going to happen to you if you go to prison. I mean, so just don't get caught, I guess.
And if you do get caught, tell your wife the truth and hope she buys it.
Right. So you kept going to his island. How come I never learned about this in our marriage? Well, Melinda, I do so much philanthropy. I'm constantly out there trying to find ways of bringing more money in for our philanthropy, you know, and even if I have to get a massage from an underage girl from time to time on Jeffrey Epstein's island, that's what I do for the people.
Yeah, it's like he donates so much money, I can't turn that down. I'd be rude.
In general, you always have to be careful.
You just got to be careful. You got to be careful. That's the lesson. Be careful, otherwise you'll wind up dead if you tell the truth. Be careful.
Dr. Anthony
Sorry.
And, you know, I'm very proud of what we've done in philanthropy, very proud of the work of the foundation. That's what I get up every day and focus on.
It was
Well, yeah, that's because Epstein's dead. If he wasn't, he'd get up and focus on other things every day.
Well, Epstein's dead. And I guess there's got to be a lot of people worried about this Ghislaine Maxwell trial, you know, and what comes out
from that.
Does that
keep getting pushed back or something? Like, how come it's like you hear this like breaking thing and then all of a sudden it's like you don't hear anything for months.
You know, if there's anything I've learned over being in COVID, having COVID for the last 10 days or whatever, and being bedridden, watching all these true crime documentaries, is that, man, the justice system takes forever. And, watching that show, The Staircase, the story about the Mike Peterson, the murder trial, where his wife fell down the stairs and did he push her down or did she actually fall, the whole thing. And it was like 17 years of trying to actually get to trial again. And I mean, it just takes forever. And when he gets a retrial and the whole thing and the lawyer's like, nothing's probably going to happen for at least like 2 years. Oh, 2 years. At home. Well, you get like under bond, but like, yeah, at home wearing an ankle bracelet for 2 years. Until they figure that out.
And so, people assuming you killed your wife.
Right. Exactly. So you just got to sit there and deal with that. You know,
that was a good documentary actually.
Oh, you watched that one, The Staircase?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really good. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what the latest on the Ghislaine Maxwell stuff is, but I just the latest I see is just that the jail that's holding Ghislaine right now has been plagued by scandal. The Brooklyn jail, which has R. Kelly and Ghislaine Maxwell in there right now.
Are they sharing a cell?
No, that'd be funny. And then, you know, the other update too is that Prince Andrew, right? The runaway prince finally got served with papers. He kept trying to avoid getting served with papers in the lawsuit against sexual contact with Virginia Giuffre, the underage girl who says that he sexually abused her, while at Jeffrey Epstein's island, I guess. So the whole family kind of came together. They tried to, like, literally the queen and everybody was like, Come on up here to Scotland, hide out in the Queen's Palace up here. And all these people kept trying to serve him with his legal papers. I mean, I guess it pays to be wealthy like that, right? But they eventually got to him, got him his papers. So he's actually officially been served now. But I can't wait to find out what unfolds from this, this Ghislaine Maxwell story and this Bill Gates.
Unfortunately, I feel like there's too many powerful people that could be brought down that we'll never hear from her.
I know. It's hard to say, but
because what's that? What did they say? A dead man tells no tales.
Yep. Yep. Like when you go on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, that's what the first thing: dead men tell no tales before you go down the ride.
It's like the only thing Gates didn't say in that interview is like, yeah, well, he's dead. Thank God.
Right. Well, he's dead. You got to be careful. What does that mean?
Loose lips sink ships. That's all I'm going to say.
Man. Anyway, well, that's going to do it for today's show, everyone. Ah, oh, boy.
You did it, man.
I don't know how I did it.
You still got to record a video.
Fine. I know. I got to do that, too. What time is it? Yeah. Well. So, kids, don't go get COVID, okay? It's the worst. It's the worst. So hopefully tomorrow I'll be even more more back in action. A full show, but, and then
Dean Thomas said three can keep a secret if two are dead.
No, so I'm not well. People who joined us late, yes, I do have COVID. Yes, it's been brutal, and just going to try to rest now. But thank you guys for all of your support.
Well, and just let Philip do that video. Don't try to, you know, just shoot it and get it to him, and we'll get it out.
Okay. I'll work on that. All right, everyone. So we'll see you back here tomorrow, unless I take a turn for the worst all of a sudden. But I don't want to be in bed all day again, so... Hopefully I'll be back for a show tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Thank you, everyone, for subscribing to the channel. If you're new here, we do the show every day at 9 a.m. Eastern time, bringing you the news that you won't get from the mainstream media because they like to censor us, to censor the real stories.
They like to keep everybody comfortable.
Exactly. That's right. We like to make people uncomfortable. All right, everyone. Peace out.